Your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. I love Elijah, one of my favorite people to talk about in the Scripture. Ornery, good night. He was ornery. And what was great is he was ornery one minute and then chicken liver the next. Now, he is a powerful man for the Lord. The Lord did some wonderful, miraculous things through him. I look at people in the Bible, I don't look at them as some superheroes except for the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at them at who they are. They're humans. They were sinners. Amen? And I look at them that way, and I see Elijah, and I often ask myself, why is it that we can't do something of the nature? I know we're not going to have apostolic power. I know we're not going to have these calling down fire moments and things of that nature, but understand this, we can be close to the Lord like they were. We can be close to him. You know, the reason we don't hear about those things anymore is because we have made this determined decision that somebody else will get close to the Lord, not us.
Yeah.
Getting close to the Lord is not a corporate venture. Okay? I want to get close to the Lord as a church. I really do. But understand this. You're not going to get close to the Lord yourself if you're relying on your church to get close to the Lord. And if we all get close to the Lord, guess what our church will be? See how profound that is? I'm telling you, stick around me long enough, you'll get some good stuff, okay? You must understand something. I make personal. I want it to be personal. As I follow Elijah's life, I try to make it personal, and I try to think about what would I have done in this situation, what would I have done in this situation, and some of the stuff that the Lord Jesus Christ does through Elijah are truly amazing, truly supernatural, and to me, I see things, I see things like these kids singing as supernatural. You say, well, that's dumb. They've got voices, you know, whatever. How many teenagers do you know do this? Come on now. Come on. How many people do you know get up here and sing? Miss Merck got up here and sang. How many single ladies that the Lord, you don't know her life, but I'm going to tell you right now, thank God she stuck here. A million times over, Miss Mert had a lot of reasons to leave and a lot of reasons not to do it, and she could have cashed in the towel a long time ago, but she didn't. I look at that as supernatural. I look at the talent that Brother Bill has to play the organ. Supernatural. I can't do it. I go over and hit the things just to make it sound funny. They get so aggravated with me. I love it. But I don't have that ability. I believe that is something that is supernatural, and how wonderful is it that God works through you that way? The Bible says, in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. So if you do something good, isn't that supernatural? Come on, think with me, church. You think God's not working through you? You think Jesus Christ is not using you? I get so sick and tired of hearing about people, just give me another job, just do this. I want you to have another job, understand that. But what has God ever told you to do that you just went ahead and done? And that's not easy preaching. Sometimes people, I don't like what the Lord has given me. I'm sorry, take it up with him. I think God's right, you're wrong. I think we can put a blanket over that one and make that the entire statement. God's right, we're wrong. And if we look through some of the things that Elijah did, I see this one instance, it's so amazing. If I could have one thing, and I want to draw close enough to God, I want to draw close enough to God that he has my attention. But more than that, I want him to have my life. And as I look at these verses in 1 Kings chapter 19, let's stand together. We're going to look at verse 9. The Bible says, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Have you ever thought that to yourself? What in the world am I doing here?
Yeah.
You ever thought that? I love that statement. What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And tissues come next. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small Boys, we've heard a lot of messages on this. I promise you, you've seen this scripture before in your Christian life. But understand this. If there's anything I want to be able to hear that voice. I really do. Oh, I know it's not audible. But I want to be able to hear it. I want to be able to know what he wants out of me. And when he gets to that point, I want to be able to sit and listen to it. Amen? Brother Meyer, could you lead us in prayer tonight? Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for coming back on a Sunday night. Got a lot of folks to pray for in our church. Make sure you remember them because they sure do need you now. I'm so very thrilled that Rivers and Opal came to our church. I really believe they're seeking. I don't think they've ever had preachers before. I don't think they've ever had people that have loved them before. And every time you go and see them, it's just they just believe that's the greatest blessing in the whole wide world. So make sure you send them a card or send Grandma Sue a card. Make sure you send her one. She certainly needs that. She's been an encouragement to our lives so many times. I think it's time that we can be one to her. Amen. But as you study about Elijah, and Elijah had ups and downs just like everybody else in the Bible. He had things happen to him that boy, you would think, boy, Lord, why didn't you take care of that? Or why did this happen? Sometimes you saw Elijah run. Sometimes you saw Elijah stand. Sometimes you saw Elijah defeat prophets of Baal. Sometimes you saw him do things and survive. And sometimes you saw him go to the widow and the Lord blessed in a miraculous way there. So many things that you saw Elijah, good night, the mantle, and Elisha follow him, would not leave him. And you know, boy, there's so many things that happened in Elijah's life. And Christians, sometimes we're a lot like that. We have things happen in our life and we can fall back on the things that happen, the good things. We can fall back on the things that we held on to. We can fall back on those because they happen. We can remember them. But I fear sometimes we live there. And when I say those words to you, I got to be honest with you. I don't believe God stops speaking. I believe God speaks to us many, many times and we just can't hear him. Now, wait a minute. I'm not going charismatic, but they've stolen a lot of that from us.
Right.
See, the Holy Spirit speaks to us quite often, and we put it away because we're worried that somebody will feel that we're weird.
Yeah.
Well, we're weird already. Might as well have God speak to us too.
Amen.
But as you look through these verses, and I look at this, and it's, what an incredible situation. Elijah running. He just slayed 800 some odd prophets of Baal with God's help. Oh, I know it's 450. We look it up. There's more there than that. Understand this. He's running now. He stood and watched God after dumping all that water on the altar, after doing all those things, and making fun of those guys, which I think is absolutely wonderful. I know I would be too. That's one thing I know. They said, hey, call out louder. Maybe God's deaf. Call out louder. Maybe he's away on a vacation. Call out louder. Apparently it's not working. They're sitting there cutting themselves, bleeding all over each other.
Yeah.
And Elijah's sitting there saying, hey, where's your God at? The one that you're so excited about. Well, what about your God, Elijah? Let me ask you a question about that. How brave would you be with your God? Hold on now. Now, what about a faith? Faith in action here. What about faith in action? Oh, I have faith. Do you have faith enough to have action enough to say, my God will take care of me? Huh? Do we have faith enough to trust God enough? Oh, there's grand opposition over there. Brother Dave, if you stand for the King James Bible, many people are going to go away from you. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Do I have faith enough to stand here? Or would I like to say, well, I have faith in God, but I'm going to go ahead and go over here because I don't know that God can protect me. Now, how big is God? How much would it be? God, hey, Elijah maybe or maybe did not know what God was going to do. He just knew that God was going to take care of it. When's the last time you knew that you knew that you knew that God was going to take care of it? Boy, there's no amens tonight, preacher. That you knew, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to rely on the money. Talked about it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. My daughter's starting to drive. She hits stuff. So did I when I was a kid, whatever. But you ever have to report that to your insurance company. They get irritated about that kind of thing if you don't report it. So I reported it. Then they said, well, send me a letter that says you're going to pay $295 for your insurance. No, I'm not. And you might say, well, you're standing. No, I wasn't standing. I didn't have the money. I understand, daughter started around. And I told the Lord, hey, listen, Lord, I believe that she was great and wait until she's 18 years old. By the way, my parents might not agree with it. I think your kid ought to wait until they're 18 to drive. You can say what you want to say. Say what you want to say. You get mad at me all you want to, but I think at 16, they're dumb. At 18, they're just a little older is all. You say what you want to say, but I think it's greater. The kids are not as mature as they were. The kids today at 16 are not like they were back in my day at 16. Back it's your day either, brother. They's getting married at 16 at his age, praise the Lord, glory to God. But understand this, I think that we saw this coming and the Lord worked it out, and now the next thing you know, God provided the money through some work that I did that I would be able to pay that bill. Now, is my God powerful enough to do that, or do I have to go and take out a loan for it? See, what you got to understand is this, and I'm just talking about money right now. None of us are brave enough to let God take care of us. Be honest with me now. You're going to do everything in your power to take care of yourself. And then, God, I need your help now. I tried everything I've got, Lord. But you know what? I can't do this without you. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Throughout your lives, every one of you has had things that they've gone through. I am not intimately privy to everything that's happened in your life, but I know a little bit about each one of you. And I know you've gone through things. I know it. And I've seen God deliver you from things. I've seen God, and I know God's delivered me from some things. When Elijah had this wonderful deliverance from the fire coming down and even licking up the water in the trough, I'm sorry, that really happened. That's not just a figment of somebody's imagination they threw down in a book here. They decided that they're going to go against God. God decided, I'm going to show you who God really is. Elijah witnessed it and then went down and slayed all the prophets, and now Elijah's running? It doesn't seem correct, does it? It doesn't seem correct that in our lives we've seen victories and there's days we run. It doesn't make sense to me that people have seen victories in their life and that will come to me later and say, well, Brother Dave, do you really think we ought to stand for the Bible this way? We've had grand victories that God has taken care of us throughout our lives, but when it comes time to stand for Him, what do? I can't pay my tithe because I can't pay my bills? I don't even know how that got in there. What was that? Who said that? Understand something. You're not the one paying your bills. God's paying your bills. Let God take care of it. Don't sit at home and do nothing. Then Obama's paying your bills, which means I'm paying your bills. And the working people in here are paying your bills. Good Lord. But we watch these things in our lives, and we watch Elijah here running. And Elijah finds him in a place where finally he decides, you know what? I think that I'm going to try to listen to what's going on. If you look at this, he says, I've been very jealous in verse 10 for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And we've known this about Elijah. We know what he's doing here. And I'm telling you, there's times when you feel like you're alone. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. There's times that you feel like no one goes with you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going in God's direction, somebody's going with you. Even if it's only God. Some of the classes that these kids are taking in school. Lord have mercy. Education in a democratic society. That just sounds to me like liberal.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Brother Dave, then get her out of that school.
you don't own me. I think she's going to be a grand success. And I think I'm going to tell you right now that these two are going to have classes like that. And I think that it's going to take, listen to me, you listen to me. I love Christian education. I love it. And believe me, I'm for it. But let me tell you something. You're not going to make the world standing in the church different. How are you going to change the world when you stay here amongst our people? Huh? When the two men turned the world upside down, where were they when they did that? They were standing for the Lord. They were doing something for Christ. How are we going to do that inside these walls? Oh, we need church. We need to worship. We need to come to this place. But let me explain something, Austin. If you want to change the world, go out and change it. Just don't lose your relationship with Christ, because that's how you're going to change the world correctly. Oh, this world's too far gone, preacher. That's the devil telling you that. Didn't have any of that planned. I'm almost getting ready to get to my message. Sometimes we feel that way. We're in the dumps at a crossroad when we need strength. Sometimes we can stop the plow because the ground's too hard. Have you ever felt that way? Being a Christian is just too hard. Being a fundamental Baptist is just too hard. Living right, looking like, being right, it's too hard. Listening to the right music, doing the right things, it's too hard. Do you think it was easy for some of these folks in the Bible? So they're in the Bible. Yeah, well, we're here now. Is there a cause to fight this fight? Is there a cause to do these things? Is there a cause to know what the good way and the right way and the good path and the right path are? Listen, these kids could be singing rock music. Brother Bill could have his organ some bar somewhere playing the piano for some hussy to dance around. But he's here playing the old rugged cross. A lot of places they could take their talent. A lot of things they could do. But Autumn, now you're here. You're here singing this music. Why? Because she decides, I'm going to stand here. Now, she hasn't met a lot of battles yet, but there's going to be a day when she meets battles. Autumn, you got such a pretty voice. Sing this song by Hannah Montana. Sing this song, because this song touches me. I want God to touch me, and I want these kids to do right for the Lord. As we look at Elijah here, Elijah's running. He's running from what the world may do to him. I got to be honest with you. The Lord can't do anything to you. Jesus Christ is more powerful than that. As we look at this, he says this. And let me tell you something. I know being a Christian is hard. I get it. But is it that hard? To me, being in the world was much harder. Oh, my soul. Brother Mike, wouldn't you agree that being in the world was much harder than this? Oh, there's time. Oh, yeah, I know. Christians go through dump times. They go through bad times. I get that. I understand sometimes it's hard. But, boy, isn't it worth it? As you go through this, I'm going to tell you there's going to be times when you're going to be alone. And it says this, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. It's amazing to me how people need something spectacular. But let me help you here. Sometimes the spectacular even doesn't impress. Let me ask you a question. I know I use this a lot. We prayed for our preacher, and we prayed for him for days and days and days and days and days. And God brought him back to us. I believe with all my heart the prayers of the people and walking in with that Bible. Walking in with that Bible and reading that scripture, anointing him with oil, doing what God has told us to do. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are willing to say absolutely that God did that miracle? Amen. 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 You better believe he did. But we're in a room full of people that believe that. Huh? Now let me ask you a question. Sometimes this would not even impress people. Let's think about the lost for a minute. You go out in that hospital, I guarantee you there's lost that think, well, his body just healed himself, or the great doctors at Robinson did the job.
That even shows you it was a miracle. Because the
See, we live in a society today. We live in a society today that does not believe God. We live in a society today that expects to see this grand and wonderful earthquake from God. I got to be honest with you. Do you know that doesn't impress people anymore? Do you think that the hurricanes and everything else that happens in this world aren't done by God? That's God going, pfft. That's God doing this. It's nothing to him to do that. The spectacular, the almighty, God has done these things. And yet people will just build a stronger New Orleans. Bigger, higher walls. Like God's not going to beat that up too if he wants to. Those things happen and we turn to God for 35 seconds until your insurance company shows up. Then they'll take care of it. I'm going to tell you right now, in this society, sometimes even the spectacular, sometimes even our preacher being healed, and in some of you, I wonder if there's a spot that says, it really wasn't God. See, I'm going to tell you, you say, no way. But then if they could give a credible scientific reason for his life to be here, you may go along those paths. Why do you think evolution has taken such a great hold in our schools? Why? Because it's credible and we don't want to believe God anymore. We don't want to have that faith that says God is and God does. We've missed out on it because we used to look for the spectacular miracle, the wonderful show me. But do you know what? We've been so desensitized to the greatness of God. You look at these verses and God, there's an earthquake. There's a wind. There's a fire. But God was not there. It's amazing as people look at things in their life, and I can see God doing things. Can't you? Can't you see God working and God doing things in this world? Can't you see that? I'm not even talking about bad things. I've seen God do good things. Don't watch the news. You'll find a lot more good things. Because you keep watching the news, I promise you this with all my heart, you're going to get depressed. But God is still on the throne. But those big things, those huge things, those miraculous things, that might get my attention. But you know what? I want him to get in my life. Now look at this. He said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. You know, I want you to notice something. He said, go forth, and Elijah did. It's amazing to me that our church is half full. Huh? Well, those people. And you're probably thinking of somebody right now that's not here. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you had faith enough to invite somebody to come here? When is it? Do we have to have this incredible, earth-shattering, unbelievable revival for you to invite somebody? I want you to think with me. This is not going to be popular. I love revival. I want it real, real bad. I don't know that there's anybody that wants revival as much as a preacher. But let me tell you something. I don't want just the revival. Why can't I have Sunday? Think with me now. Why can't I have Sunday? Earth-shattering, huge, monstrous visitors, 300 people, glory to God. But the next week we're down to 150. I don't want the one shot in the arm. I don't want that. I don't want the 5 minutes of revival. Woo-hoo-hoo! Glory to God. I don't want that. I want it to last. Amen. I want God to show up more than just once in 20 years when he heals my pastor. I want God to show up, and I want that to be a common occurrence. I want it to be something that's wonderful. These four girls, or not four, I'm sorry, so sorry, Jim. These two girls and Tiffany playing the piano and Jimmy singing. I'm going to tell you right now, that's like God came down. Seeing somebody like Myrtle get up in there and sing, that's like God coming down. Why? Because she ought not be doing that. I'm going to tell you, to have a sinner that cares enough, that's gone through what she's gone through, and still wants to praise the Lord with her voice, glory to God. I want you to see just like I see. It may not be in the huge Sunday school campaign. Not against them. It may not be in the huge vacation Bible schools. Not against them. But you didn't build your bus route because of vacation Bible school, Josh. You built your bus route because you go out every Saturday. You're looking for the fire. You're looking for the earthquake. You're looking for the wind. God can be here every day. And he's a whole lot more supernatural than any of those things. He gets your attention. That's what we want to do. We want to get the attention of people out there and let them know you can still be a Christian. Do you understand, Michael, how lucky you are? You dirtbag. I'm going to tell you right now, you've been so blessed that this man's come into your life. Why? Because he took an interest in you. He saw your life, and Mike, you had nothing going on. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful, son. I was there with you. I saw it. Never, I guarantee you, will this young man ever not realize how lucky he is. I believe that. This was miraculous. Earth-shattering, earthquake, huge. But it didn't last. It's now just God working. It's a still small voice letting you know how wonderful this is. I tell Bobby and Jamie all the time, I hurt myself. Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to double your salary for lunch, lady. I tell them all the time, I don't deserve my children. Hey, you may not understand. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. No, I don't. I don't deserve having a child that desires to play her piano talent in a church house for godly music. I don't deserve to have a young lady that desires to sing godly songs. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm praying every day that my son becomes a preacher. I don't deserve that. Preachers are nuts. I really don't deserve that. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. I don't want her to just give me one song. I don't want you to just sing one. No, son, it's not about that. It's about a life of listening to the still small voice. It's about a life of not just relying on the huge. Brother Bill, those days that they had with Billy Sunday with the tabernacle, you know those are gone, right? You do realize that those days are gone. Billy Sunday's no longer here. But we are. Now, wait a minute. Billy Sunday's changed. Has he? No, God hasn't changed. Billy Sunday's gone. He's now in a glorified body waiting on us. Hoping and praying that somebody else sets up a tabernacle. Oh, that can't happen today. You know why? Because you're not listening to the still small voice. Oh, no, I understand that that would be huge, brother. Now you're talking about the whirlwind and the earthquake and all that fire stuff. That gets your attention. Oh, that got Elijah's attention. Do you think as he stood in the mount and the Lord passed by, he didn't have his attention? A thunderstorm rolls through this place and people are like, okay? Now, when God does it, I got to believe it's a little bit more spectacular than that. Let me understand something here. So we're saying that only time that we can see great and mighty things is when God does miraculous, great and mighty things. He showed up in a still, small voice. I believe he can be there for the big things. But I read his Bible. I think he's more interested in faithfulness.
Yeah.
I know I keep saying this to you. I say this to you because I'm trying to get it into my own head. I've been here in October 20 years. Some of you have been here longer than that. And I understand it. I'm trying to tell myself that because I can't believe I've made it this long. Think about that. A sinful person working for the Lord for 20 years, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, how did that happen? How did I get here? Because not every day was wonderful. Stay with me now. Not every day in your Christian life is going to be wonderful. You're going to have days that are down, just like Elijah. You're going to have times that are bad, just like Elijah did. But don't wait for the great and huge and wonderful things just so you can have your faith rekindled. It's amazing to me how long we wait sometimes to come back to Christ. What are we waiting on? What are we waiting to see? Well, God doesn't do any miracles anymore. Liar. He does them every single day. We just don't notice them because they're not earthquakes.
Right.
We just don't notice them because they're not fire.
Right.
We just don't notice because they're not huge wind. I see miracles every day. Our Christian school, I believe it's our eighth year. That's a miracle to me. That's a miracle.
Yeah.
Little Bethel Baptist Church having a school. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that we still have our preacher. It's a miracle that these kids are serving the Lord. It's a miracle that we have the things that we have, daily things that we have. Sometimes, the big things, though, for the lost folk, will still not get them in your church. Sometimes the big things to the lost world will not even help you to win them to Christ. It's amazing how desensitized we've become. Look at this now. After the earthquake of fire, then a still small voice. So when it was so, Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Number two, first one, sometimes the power does not impress. It's amazing to me that folks sometimes see the greatness of God and yet still ignore what he does. Number two, when God speaks to you, ready for profundity? Here it comes. This is awesome, by the way. Even I thought this was awesome when I wrote it down. When God speaks to you, he's speaking to you. Yeah. Wait a minute. When God's been telling me to go out soul winning more, he's not talking to Colton. That stinks, doesn't it? Huh? When God's speaking to me to do something, son, did he tell you to preach? Do you know he was not talking to me? Who was he talking to? That's profound, isn't it? So can you expect Brother Bobby to do all your preaching? Do you know why? Because he's not you. God spoke to him. But that's his business. What'd God say to you? See, we passed the buck. Are we not a pass-the-bucker type society? Huh? You know, it's amazing to me. God will tell you to do something. It happens to me a lot with tracks. I'm glad I'm the only one. The Lord will tell me, pass out a track. If I have one, believe that. And I may even dig it out of my pocket. How many times have you... Yeah, they're talking to somebody else. I don't. Somebody else will get him. Huh? Somebody else will talk to him. Mike Sells will come along. He'll talk to him. Huh? He talks to everybody. I don't know how he makes it through a day. Let me tell you something right now. He's not talking to Mike Sells. He was talking to you. Now, what has God told you to do? Now, I'm not saying what did you tell you to do. Help me. I'm not saying what do you think is right to do. I'm not saying what do you think. Well, I'm going to make an earthquake. No, God didn't tell you that. God told you in a still small voice is what I want you to do. It's amazing how often that we will ignore what God has to say and try to pass it to somebody else. God can't be talking to me. When God called me to preach, I thought sure it'd be the easiest thing in the whole wide world. I just come right up here and I tell the preacher, "Yes, sir, preacher, he's called me to preach. Isn't God good? Glory to God." Let me tell you something. Not everybody in the whole wide world is called to preach. Not everybody in the whole wide world is called to preach. I know a lot of guys don't like to hear that. But if you got a preacher that's willing to tell you he's not called, you're in the wrong building. So anyways, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. I hope that's on the internet. So I figured I'd come right up here. I'd come out of this chair. Preacher, I'm called to preach. I said, "It's my dad." No problem, right? It's my dad. Here's the problem. Dad wasn't the one telling me. God was telling me. And so I got up out of this chair, got about halfway, and came to the realization, this is bigger than I thought. I had preached a lot. I got right to here. You can ask him. I couldn't say a word. A tear started to run down my face. And I came to the realization of what the gravity was of what God was telling me. By the way, I didn't see it in a wind. I didn't see it in a giant earthquake. There certainly wasn't a fire. But there was that voice. And when I came to the realization that who was talking to me, I realized who he was talking to. Now, you may think that that's no big deal. But for the Almighty, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Austin, if God ever tells you anything, son, can you imagine that God's talking to you? As big as God is, son, he cares about you. Can you? Are you with me on this? As big, as wonderful, and as many things as God has got going on, he cares about you at all? He wants to talk to a sinner? I don't think he needs an earthquake for that. I think he needs to be quiet because I can't believe he's talking to me. I can't believe he's got anything to say to me. Why would he pay attention to me? And there he is, this great, big, almighty God saying, Elijah, come up to the mount. I got something to tell you. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Well, God, I thought this was the best place for me to be. Now, that's not in the Bible, but let me explain something to you. You know why I know that's true? Because he was there. He figured that was the best place, right? You're certainly not going to run to the worst place. Blinking light, worst place. Yeah, that's where I need to go. He thought that that was the place that he ought to go, but he didn't ask God. He asked God just a little while ago for the prophets of Baal, but he didn't ask God to take care of Jezebel. It's amazing to me. And here we are in our life, the great, big, huge, ginormous problem. Oh, God, we need you. But then when time to hear the still small voice, how many people can you name? I'm just asking, how many people can you name that used to be in church? Huh? How many folks do you know used to stand for the book? You can name preachers. For good, I hesitate to even call them preachers. It's easy to see that they didn't see the wind anymore. It's easy to see that they didn't see the earthquake. They didn't see the fire. So we must be wrong. That's not what faith is. See, faith is still faith even in the low times. Faith is still faith even in the times when it's not a magnanimous giant thing going on. Let me tell you something. I would to God, and by the way, I thought this to myself. My Sunday school class isn't running 800, running 100. I don't even know what the numbers are, but understand this. I really wish this of my life. I wish that the Lord would do a miracle in the Sunday school class. But let me tell you something. Even if he doesn't, I've read books. I was given books on how to build a good Sunday school class. That, by the way, if you're going to make somebody feel better, don't give them a book that tells them what they're doing wrong. God did that. Let me read my Bible. How to build a good Sunday school class. That's like a superscription in the front, because you ain't. Amen? But understand this. I want to come over here week after week after week to share and teach and learn about Christ with you. It may not be magnanimous in the wind and the earthquake, but understand this. I want to hear the still small voice week after week after week. I would to God you'd want to share that with your friends. I don't care how many pancake breakfasts we have. I don't care how many Snicker bars we pass out. Know this. Know this. Sunday school is only going to be as big as we want to make it. We. I said we, not me. We. Because you're supposed to be part of this too. As we look at this, I see, and I'm almost done, but I see Elijah talking to God. I see Elijah speaking with him. I see Elijah saying, hey, God, what do you want me to do? And the God of heaven. Can you imagine this question? What doest thou here, Elijah? That's like a teacher asking a kid, what is 2 + 2? Does the teacher know the answer? Yes. God is not asking that question to get the answer. Nothing ever occurred to God. He knows the answer. Listen to me. Has God ever asked you that? What are you doing? What are you doing? He knows what you're doing. I think he wants you to know what you're doing. Amen? What are you doing? What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing? What do you got going on in your life? Now, if you look at this, he hears. And when you hear him, it generally requires a response. You will respond. in one of a few ways. You will respond when God talks to you in one of a few ways. You're either going to ignore what he has to say, and boy, we have a good God that he would talk to somebody that's willing to ignore what he says. You will respond. You will decide to make a difference and then stop. Or you'll make a difference in your life, you'll decide to make a difference for the rest of your life, and you'll do what God has asked you to do for the rest of your life. It's not an easy thought, is it? It's like going on a diet. Who wants to do that? We know we ought to. I mean, I ought not be fat. I know that, and I know what could stop it. Right? I know if I exercise and eat better, it would stop it. But I'm still going to have fast food tonight. It requires a response. My response is quarter pounder. Stop eating that way. Quarter pounder. See, what you got to understand is God wants to use you. He wants you to do something with your life. And when he tells you to do something, it requires a response. When he says, go ahead and pass out that track. Okay, God, you pull it out, put it back in. What was the response? There was a response, by the way. The response was, no, thank you. The response was, I don't think so. Therefore, when you respond to the Lord and do these things that God has asked you to do or not do them, that is the response you're giving. Again, so very profound. What did Elijah decide to do? And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou? If you look at this, he wrapped his face. I'm going to tell you right now, this is something I want to get across to you. I know it's 7:10. Bear with me for a little while longer. When God speaks to you, realize who he is and realize who you are. When God, I'm going to tell you one thing that drives me crazy. In my school, I want to be known as the principal. And I'm not talking about being big-headed here. I want these kids to know that I am the guy that holds their educational fate in my hand. That's the God's honest truth. They need to know that I am the principal. They need to know. Your children need to know that your mom and dad, you're not their buddy. That doesn't go over well in this society. Be my friend. Oh, you just have to show them that you're friendly. Hogwash. Do what I say, you're going to get whipped. Realize who you're talking to. When God's talking to you, sorry, God. You ever told Josh whatever? You ever had a kid say that to you? I've had kids say that to me. Whatever. I can't find a diesel air horn fast enough. Because I steam comes out of these ears when a kid tells me whatever. Kid, get over there. Get that garbage out. Whatever. I turn into the Hulk. But wait. I know. I'm going to tell you something. We do that to God a lot. Go to church. Whatever. Oh, that's good, isn't it? It requires a response. What's your response? Is your response to stay home and sit in the recliner? Somebody did tonight. Well, this is the holiday weekend. People are camping. Why? I gotta tell you. God tells us things, and we blow him off just like you get blown off by your children. Because we are his children. Elijah decides, oh my soul, this is God speaking to me. Oh God, I'm not worthy for you to speak to me. He covers his face in a mantle. Why? In a place of humility, realizing that God is speaking to a sinner. You know, God, I'm amazed that God ever uses me. I hope I can get you. I'm not kidding when I say that. I can't believe that God ever speaks through me. I can't believe that God ever shows me anything in his Bible. I can't believe that God would even take a minute to worry about a flea such as I. And sometimes we get this thing in our life where God can't exist without us. Elijah says, no, that's I'm not worthy. I know I'm doing wrong right now. I know, God, I don't deserve this. God, I am so sorry. This is a point in my life where I've come to realization, why am I running? He wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice on him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? He stepped out of the dark. He said, I don't want to be in this place anymore. And it required that response of taking a step towards what God had for him. Do you realize good Christians that have served for a very long time can step right back into the cave? That glorious, marvelous light that God called you into, it's amazing. I've done it. I've stepped back into the cave too. If you be honest, so have you. It's amazing that we say, whatever, God, I'm going back in here with bats are. Never mind, God, I'm going back in here where it's dank and stinky. It's the only time you ever get to use the word dank when you're talking about a cave. I'm going to tell you right now, God has done things in our lives that sometimes, and I know it's hard, and I know it's tedious, and I know it's difficult, but God has done things, and He wants us to know how wonderful He is, but He's not going to speak to you in great magnanimous ways all the time. God is going to speak to you in a small voice much more often than He's going to speak to you in big ways. And yes, He does do big things. That was a big thing. But that's not the only thing that has been done by God here. God has done great and wonderful miracles here, and I know that He's going to do others. But don't think that God has stopped working with Bethel Baptist Church because we're not on the property yet. Well, God's not doing anything here. You'd have the building by now if He was. I'm sorry, people are still getting saved here. I'm sorry, we're still praying here. I'm sorry, the Word is still being preached here, and the true Word. I'm sorry, we haven't given into the world. We still have a choir loft and not a drum set. I'm sorry, we haven't turned a foyer into a coffee house yet. God's not done here. But don't expect the big things if you're not willing to listen for the little. Realize who you are and who He is. Realize that you must step out of the dark. Realize that to talk to God, you must listen. You know, that's one of the things I hate as a parent, is when your child continues to talk when you want to say something. I'm glad that my children are the only ones that do that. You want to tell them something. You could tell them that their leg's on fire, and they decide that they want to just keep right on talking. Stop, drop, and roll. I can't hear you because I'm talking. And we spend more time, blah, 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 blah. God can't do anything with you when all you're doing is busy talking. I always say this. Prayer is important, vital. It is vital to your life. But there are times when I have ceased to pray and just sat and listened. There's times when I've read my Bible just specifically because I want Him to tell me something. We spend a lot of time asking Him, and we should. Ask and receive. It's good to pray. It's good to ask. But boy, if you want God to talk to you, don't you want God to speak to you? Sometimes you're going to have to just sit and listen. Realize that He wants to use you. He wants to do something with you. He didn't save you to sit. He didn't save you not to do anything. It's amazing how we don't listen. We don't hear. Not only did He use His ears, He gave His answer. Elijah decided to give his answer. Look at this now. Look at this now. The Lord said unto him, and He said, verse 14, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek to take my life to take it away. He gave his answer, what God said. What are you doing here? Well, everyone else has turned on me. What are you doing here? But then God gave his answer. See, you'll give your answer if you're not listening. But then God gave his answer. And the Lord said unto him, go. The Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. He gave him the next job. Elijah gave his answer. Did it matter? Did God change what He was telling him? They're after me, God. Go. Right? Sometimes you may not like what God's doing. That doesn't give you the right to question His authority. My kids question what I do sometimes, but at the end of the day, I'm in charge. I might be wrong over in the school sometimes, but I can promise you at the end of the day, I'm in charge. I might not always do it right. I'll make mistakes, I understand that, but at the end of the day, I'm in charge. Was there ever a day I wasn't in charge when you were in the school, son? Never a day. And you say, oh, that's just really pompous attitude. It's got to be that way. God's got to be in charge. He used amazing things to get your attention. And sometimes you've had things in your life that have gotten your attention. But it's the still small voice that's going to get a hold of your life. Your life. Day to day to day life. You're not going to find joy and great happiness in one Sunday school campaign a year. You're not going to find it. You're going to find joy in speaking to the Lord on a daily basis and letting Him speak to you. I love them. I think we should have more. It's been a long time since we had a Sunday school campaign. I can't wait for the next one. But I'm not relying on that to find joy in the Lord. This is a little different message tonight. But don't you want God to speak to you? He got your attention. Now let's see if He can get a hold of your life. Let Him speak to you. Let Him say something. Stop talking for a minute. And let Him say something. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this night. Lord, please, I'm begging You. Lord God, we need to hear from You. Not what we want to hear, but what we want to hear from You. Lord God, let our responses be positive. Let the direction that we go after we hear from You, let that be in the right direction. Let it be in Your direction, and let us do what You ask us to do. Lord God, please help us. Help me. Oh God, I believe there are so many times You've told me to do something and I have not done it. Lord, that's a giant mistake. Lord, please help us to seek You out. Help us to realize who You are and who we are. Help us to come to grips with the fact that You only want the best for us. And Lord, help us to follow You. Help us to find joy in the everyday. Help us to find joy in the little miracles. That way when the big miracles come, we're not surprised. Lord, help us. Help us today. We need to hear from You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder. How many can say with an uplifted hand, I know that I know that I know 100% sure that I'm saved. I know if I died right now, I'd go right to heaven. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? I don't believe there's one hand that did not go up. That means I'm talking to Christians. Wouldn't you like to hear from God? Wouldn't you? I wonder if you'd be willing to come around the altar tonight and just listen for a couple minutes. Just listen. Maybe God would tell you something. Just listen. Maybe God would say it'll be all right. Just listen. Maybe God said, I'm going to use you in a great way. I wonder. I wonder, are you too busy? I wonder, are you too busy talking? I wonder, are you your response is going to be no? Please, folks. Listen to Him. I believe He'll talk to you. I believe He'll tell you in your heart what you should do. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the honor and opportunity that is to preach. Lord God, I know I went a little long tonight, and I'm not going to apologize. I believe I did what You had me to do. Lord, please help me to seek You out. Help me to listen to what You've got to say. God, I'm no good on my own. Lord, help this church to go forward in the everyday. Because I believe what we do every day will amount to what our big days are. Lord, help us not to fall off, but to go forward. Help us to come out of the dark to the great mount of the Lord. And Lord, please, help Bethel to do a great work that only You can do. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.